Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If you would turn with me now to number 416 in your red songbooks, do all in the name of the Lord. I volunteered to teach this class, but when I did so, I told them, I get to do it my way. Did you say something? Yeah. I think it's called being assertive, right? Let me see that. No, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do not in name of man or creed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in His name, do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. Be not deceived by worldly greed, do all in the name of the Lord. The Spirit says in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in His name, do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. Till toils and labors here are done, do all in the name of the Lord. Dear Christian friends, if you'd be one, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in His name, do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3:17 is the scripture reference for that song. And it's a scripture we've been hearing quite a bit lately because we've been studying with Larry in the book of Colossians. And Colossians 3:17 reads this way, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So whatever we do, we should be doing before our Lord. It should be something we're proud of. We should put out the effort that we would be proud to present to our Lord, to our God. We are a people of freedom and liberty. As Americans, we do pretty much anything that we desire or we want to do. You all know this. You see proof of it all around you every day. People doing a lot of good things, people doing not so good things. And if you watch the news even just a little bit, you'll see that there's that group of people out there that are doing a lot of really bad things. My daughter and her family live up in Portland. I watch the Portland news, and just about every day there's a murder or an assault on that newscast. As we think about America and our rights and liberties and our freedoms, we could be reminded of Israel. In Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1, Hosea writes, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. And that's what's happening to all of us here in America. The large masses of society are stumbling because of their iniquity. Because we're such a free people. We could choose what we want to do. And nowadays it seems like if anyone raises a flag and says, oh, you shouldn't do that, then you're guilty of bias or a hate crime or you're a wacko or something. In the church, we have a lot of liberties too. Things we have a choice about. Things like dress. Things like drinking alcohol. A little bit of wine for your stomach's sake. A beer with your pizza. Or hard alcohol. We have a choice in whatever job that we pursue also. We have a choice in how we spend our money. Our choices in dress, the only guideline that we have there is that we should be chaste in our dress. And as far as drinking alcohol, the admonition there is to not be drunken. And that goes to everyone, but it's written in the qualifications for an elder. It doesn't say don't drink alcohol. It says don't be drunken. And the guys for our jobs, certainly we all have a choice in the jobs that we select, don't we? There are jobs that benefit society, and then there are other jobs, which are legal. One that jumps to mind right now is, I could have a pot shop. I could sell marijuana and be perfectly legal in the United States and in Oregon. I don't think that's something that we could support scripturally. My personal opinion. And how we spend our money. Do we spend our money on a big fancy house and a boat and a new car and all those flashy things that society values? Or are we being more frugal with our money and maybe choosing different avenues to place our money that maybe would be helpful to people? Or maybe not helpful to people, but we're not putting on a big show. But these are areas that we all have a choice in, don't we? As a Christian, our guide for these things is found in the scripture that I just read in Colossians 3:17. And in the song that we just sang, do all in the name of the Lord. Everything we do before the Lord. And if we keep that in mind, as we're going through life, I've said this lots of times before, that people see. You see. I see. We all see. But that's kind of a pun, but you know, it really is reality, isn't it? Everything you do, everything you say, how you look, people see that and they register it. And they might bring it up at some other time, not necessarily while they're with you, or maybe they're with someone else, and something triggers that memory about something you did or that you said or how you look or your companion or on and on and on. By seeing how we live day to day, we can cause others to stumble. If we're not thinking about the example that we set, it's easy to do. Hosea writes, again concerning Israel, but it's something that is something that we can apply, make application to ourselves. Hosea 14 and verse 9. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but the transgressors will stumble in them. We stumble because we do not pursue these characteristics diligently. We all know what it is to stumble, don't we? It's the fall because you struck an object, or maybe you tripped on an object, caused you to lose your balance or lose your direction. Maybe be pulled off to one side, or maybe totally fall and lose your momentum or your direction. James chapter 3 and verse 2 says that we all stumble in many ways. And I just read that at the beginning of our class time tonight, that we should think very seriously before being a teacher, so that we do not cause someone to stumble. Like I said before, to stumble is to fall over something or to be tripped up. I spoke of liberties a few moments ago. In America, we generally feel that we are entitled to do as we please. We have the right. This is my right, and I want my rights. Why do we feel that way? Well, historically, it's because of something we call manifest destiny, that when we started coming across the United States from the East Coast, it was our right, not only our right, but our job to conquer the West, to settle the West, to make the land habitable and civilized. And we call that the pioneering spirit. And like I said, manifest destiny, that's something I got from school, so that's not my idea. But we have the right because we came through and opened up the West and we settled it. We turned it into what we have today. And so the pioneers, they took their rights. They took their land from the Indians in Texas. The people in Texas took the land from the Mexicans. But that was all right because they were just doing their job. They were just doing what they were supposed to do. And it was their privilege and their right because largely we were a Christian nation, in quotations. So we're all endowed with this feeling that we have certain rights and that we all should have our rights. We deserve them. It's written in the Constitution. And actually, there's a really big push right now, if you haven't noticed it on the news, that the African American wants their rights. The Hispanics want their rights now. And before long, the Italians and the Germans and we Norwegians will probably all want our rights too, which are going to be different than everyone else's. But chasing after our rights can give occasion to stumble. It can cause ourselves to stumble. It can cause others to stumble because of what we do. Like I said, people see us every day and they take note of what we do, what we say, how we say it, how we look, how we act, our attitude in what we're doing, and, you know, just on and on. You can just name all kinds of things. I grew up in a small town east of here called West Fur. It was a really small town. I've probably told you all this before, but I graduated the top 10 of my class. I'm so proud. There were 13 students in the class. So I was in that upper group. I think I was probably the very last one. But anyway, growing up, I was really conscious of my reputation in town. Many of you know that my father helped to establish the congregation in Oak Ridge. He preached from the beginning, he preached, did all the lessons, all the teaching. He was one of the elders up there when they finally grew large enough to have elders. He supported the church financially. And I felt that everything I did in our community, that people saw what I did, and it would reflect not only on myself and my reputation, but on my parents' reputation. and through that, then against the church too, if I were doing something that most young people do. That's not to say I didn't do anything, that I was squeaky clean. But the point is that I was actively concerned about my reputation in town. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, he admonishes us to keep oneself unstained for the world, from the world, or by the world. 1 John 2 and 15, John writes, "Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world." So we're forced to get caught up in that, in becoming stained and becoming really focused on having worldly possessions or, you know, what we have in life, what we don't have in life. And I'm not standing up here saying that I don't do that. I have done it. I still do it. Hopefully not to the same degree. Hopefully I'm improving on that every day. But the things of the world, in our society, it's important the associations that we have, what kind of people that we associate with outside of our congregation here, our family. Our personal actions are very important outside of this group. Our choices that we make, our activities, the things that we do for pleasure, for recreation, which is pretty much the same thing, for our, to get our livelihood. I mean, if you have a choice when you're starting out, which we all do, what do you think about doing for your life's work? Do you think about being a caregiver? Or do you think about being a sheet metal worker because they pay a lot of money? That's what I was, a sheet metal worker. Things to think about, especially if you're young and you're stepping out into the world. These choices that you make as a young person are with you all your life. And you want to be able to look back and say, I made a good choice. I think I made a good choice, but I made it for the wrong reason. Because I was focused on making good money to support my family. But I also chose that because I was good at it. It's a skill that God blessed me with. I'm good with my hands. And I enjoyed my work. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, the scripture really familiar to all of us. Verse 10 says that as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Before that, in verse 5, Peter lists the things that he just referred to. In your faith, supply moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, Christian love. These qualities are yours and are increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful. Brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. We've all been called, haven't we? And we all have been chosen, those that have been obedient to the calling. God chose us because we accepted the requirements that he put out for us to be his people. And as long as you practice these things, the ones just above, you will never stumble. We stumble because we do not pursue these characteristics diligently. The word diligently means you really work at it. You know, if you go to work and you're not diligent on your job, you're standing around by the cooler or maybe sitting out back where no one can see you, that's not being diligent. Being diligent is when you're doing your activity, whether anyone's watching you or not. That's being diligent. You work at it, you think about it. That's being diligent. Romans 9 and 32, Israel stumbled over the stumbling stone, Jesus, because they pursued righteousness, lacking faith. So as we're diligently pursuing our lives, it behooves us to do it faithfully, with faith, not lacking faith. Romans 14:21 reads, "It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to anything by which your brother stumbles." It's very important that we not be stumbling blocks. You see on the board posted number 146, I'd like to sing that song with you this time. "Have Thine Own Way" in the Red Book. I just love this singing out of the book. Do me, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Say amen. Ezekiel chapter 18. Oh, thank you. I told you I'd forget that. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you." And this scripture goes on talking about casting away transgressions. It's talking about conduct. Talking about being a stumbling block. I brought a stumbling block tonight. This is a stumbling block. It's something you can trip over, isn't it? It's the cause. It causes a person to fall or to be tripped up, to lose their direction, lose their momentum. Sin is a stumbling block. Just read that in Ezekiel. The nation of Israel was their own stumbling block because they did not obey God faithfully. Their conduct condemned them. We've done a lot of studying here about, in the Old Testament, about Israel and about how Israel at one time was in very good graces with God. God gave them a land, promised land, and he provided for them above and beyond all other nations on the earth. And they were happy with that. We'd all be happy with that. In fact, I think all of us here are blessed more or less to that degree. You think about your lives as a Christian, I'm sure you can look back and say, I've truly been blessed. I have a rich life. I know I have, and I'm very grateful for it. And I know where it came from, too. That doesn't mean to say that I earned that. God blesses me with it every single day. But Israel, as you know, was not always faithful to God. They were on a roller coaster. They would be faithful, and then they would forget their God, and they would sin. They would take idols into their camp, if you can imagine that. I know when I think about it, God's blessing me, and I have a relationship with God, and then I decide to take a piece of wood and make a figure out of it and bow down to it and say, you're my God now. That sounds so foolish, doesn't it? It actually sounds downright stupid. But we all do those kinds of things. I know I do. But their conduct, their transgressions, condemned them. The Apostle Peter is an interesting person. The first time he met Jesus in Luke, this is recorded in Luke 5. Peter said to Jesus, after they had thrown their nets back into the sea and after fishing all night and coming up empty, and they pulled their nets back in and they were breaking, there were so many fish. Peter said to Jesus, he said, remove yourself from me, for I am a sinful man. But Peter was a stumbling block for Jesus. Matthew 16 and 23, Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to be crucified. He was going to be killed by man. And Peter stepped up and said, no way, it's not going to happen. And Jesus said to me, you are my stumbling block. Peter also stumbled himself. In John 18 and 25, we have the record of Jesus denying Christ. Before the cock crowed, he would deny his Lord and Savior, which he did. He was remorseful over that. He was repentful over that. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was a stumbling block for the Gentiles. This is the account of Peter's dream on the housetop, of the sheet being let down full of all forms of animals, and he was told to arise, slay, and eat. He said, no, nothing unclean has ever crossed my lips. So Peter, up to that time, had been denying that the Gentiles could actually be Christians because they were Gentiles. His mind hadn't been opened yet to the fact that salvation is for all. But we all know that Peter changed. He didn't keep that attitude. And thank God, we are all eligible for salvation, for we are all Gentiles. Peter always repented, and he always made it right. What an example that he is for all of us. You know, I've stumbled more than once, and I've been the stumbling block. My brother and I were estranged for a lot of years. And you know, it wasn't my fault. It was my brother's fault. I judged my brother. I thought poorly of him. He couldn't do anything that was right, because I knew he couldn't. I never even gave him a chance. And it all involved, I shouldn't say all, but a lot of it involved family issues. And of course it involved money, right? That's so easy to stumble over. But I use the past tense. I have been a stumbling block. I wrote my brother a letter, and I told him that I'd sinned against him, and that I'd wronged him, and that I'd judged him. And I asked him to forgive me, and I asked him if I could come to visit him. Because up to that time, he said, "I don't want you in my house. You can't come to my house." I sent him this letter, and a week or so later, I called him. And he said, "Come on over." And we talked, and he forgave me. He told me he loved me. I love my brother, and I'm so glad that we are reconciled. And my brother's not perfect, just the same as I'm not perfect. But we are all living life and trying to do the best that we can. My attitude was what separated me from my brother. My judging him separated me from my brother. Thinking of myself separated me from my brother. You know, I'm right. I'm always right. Especially when I'm driving a car. Those idiots out there, they don't know how to drive. Man. But I was wrong. I was not thinking of others' rights or their needs. I wasn't thinking that I was helping to condemn my brother because he didn't do things the way he did, the way I did. We could be a stumbling block by our conduct, and I was. And how we use our liberties. I'm still estranged from my little sister. And you know, I'm not sure why. And when we meet, when we get together, which is very rarely, we never talk about it. We kind of act like everything's just fine. But at one time, my sister and her husband were baptized faithful members of the church. And the church that they were meeting at, someone wronged them. Probably not intentionally, but lots of times that's the way it happens, doesn't it? Someone will not even know that they did something wrong, something to offend you. And they will, "What's wrong? What's all wrong with so-and-so?" Happens all the time. That's why it's so important that we be aware of our conduct, of what we do, what we say, how we are, regardless of whether we're here in this building or when we're out in public, at our jobs, or wherever we are, whatever we're doing, even driving the car. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 is a text about food sacrificed to idols. getting back to this idea of our liberties. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 summarizes what came above, and the topic here is food sacrificed to idols and our weak brother, our new brother, who doesn't understand yet. Verse 9 says, take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Be aware of your dress. Be aware of your speech. Be aware of your conduct. Speech. I know we all try not to swear, right? Because cursing and swearing, especially using the Lord's name in vain, that's a bad thing. That's not good. But how about using euphemisms? We all know what a euphemism is, right? A word that sounds like a curse word or a foul word, but yet it's, everyone knows the meaning of it, even though you don't say the word. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. James chapter 4 and verse 10. In Romans 13 and 7 through 9, we are to live for the Lord. That's why we're here. We're not here to have the nicest house, the fastest car, airplanes, boats, big name, be one of the beautiful people, have a reputation as a good singer or the best sheet metal worker in town or in state or in the United States or the world. We live for the Lord to do the Lord's bidding. When I started coming, putting this lesson together, it was after reading the book of Romans, and particularly towards the end of the book of Romans, Paul addresses the issue of our weak brother and food sacrificed to idols. Romans chapter 14. But before we do that, I would like to read Romans 13, verse 7 through 9. Render to all what is due them. Of course, the context here is, should we acknowledge our government? Should we pay taxes? Well, Paul said yes, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And that's not capital L law, that's the law. How do you explain that? The law, little L. It's like
moral law.
The moral law. Thanks, Strom. Yeah, the moral law. That law that even the Gentiles knew without being taught. So we should pursue that. Love our neighbor. Chapter 14 and verse 13. This is during the conversation on eating food sacrificed to idols, being at liberty because you know what's right and what isn't right, what's acceptable and isn't. You know that. And so you know because that idol is nothing, it's okay for me to eat that food sacrificed to idols. But if there's someone there who thinks that idols really are something, and if you're eating the food that's been sacrificed to the idol, you're condoning, you're worshiping that idol. And that's not a good thing. Therefore, let not us judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Skipping down to verse 19. So then let us pursue the things which make for peace and building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. So if you offend someone by eating food sacrificed to idols, that's not a good thing. That's condemned. God says no. You're giving offense. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine. So if you're in a pizza parlor having beer with your pizza, that's okay. But if you're with a new Christian, that maybe alcohol is a problem for them, or they haven't decided, well, is it okay for me to drink or not? Maybe you want to think about whether or not you should have that beer with your pizza. Or if you're dressing provocatively and you're a Christian and you're out in public, you ask yourself, this is men and women, why am I dressed like this? I'm a married man. What am I doing all slicked up, trying to be attractive to the opposite sex? What is my goal there? What is my motive? You need to think about that and to know what your motive is, whether it's right or wrong, good or bad. It's important that you know so that you can deal with it. So it is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. So Jerry loves to golf. So if he goes out golfing on Sunday morning instead of coming to worship his God, the people that know him really well and know that he's a Christian, they're going to say, Jerry's playing golf on Sunday morning. How about that? Or Brother Frank, if he's out fishing on a Sunday morning and his friends that know him know he's a Christian, they're going to say, well, how come Frank's not in church this morning? I guess fishing must be more important. And people that know me really well know that I'm a car guy. So if I'm at the drags on Sunday morning instead of worshiping God, I'm not going to be a good representative for Christianity or a Christian as a person who claims to be a faithful Christian. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God, I kind of messed up there. So do not anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So in these issues of areas of liberty, make sure that you are at peace with your own heart so that you will not be condemned before God. Romans, the next chapter there in the first two verses, 15. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. We need to help one another. We don't want to stumble. I include myself in that. We don't want others to stumble. We don't want to be the cause of someone stumbling, of someone not coming back to the polls because someone said something wrong or did something that was misunderstood or offended. We don't want to do that. Sometimes we don't want to think about it. We just go merrily on our way, thinking that everything is okay. And we might say, I wonder why we don't see so-and-so anymore. Whatever happened to them? I know I've done that.